Okay, so let me get some bearing here and organize myself. Most of you know me, right? I'm Weehum, okay? It spells as E-U-I-H-U-M. The, for your tidbits, my sister can't even spell my name, by the way. So, when I came to the United States, I understand that it's a difficult name. Even Koreans is a difficult name. So I got kind of an AKA. Okay, so my name is Alex. It's fine. It's a difficult name, so you can call me either Weehum or Alex, whichever comfortable to you. It doesn't insult me. Just like a Tim can leave here, it doesn't insult me either when I'm talking. All right. I'm from the, we are Lois, is my wife. She's an aunt of Tim and Peg, right? Your aunt-in-law for the Pegs. That's That's my daughter Christina, and they're kind of twin sister to Emily. They're born in within about 20 days difference, 10 days or something like that. So, 25 days. So ever since they born that close, and then they become like a twin sisters, so, which that so they act like a giggly like a high school kids all the time like this. Okay. So I'm from the Family Baptist Church, Tiger, which is you saw the Mark Conrad last year, and he is my he and Lois and Mark is kind of brother and sister, and then I basically I guess I can serve under him as a kind of role in the superintendent as a kind of a guy who fits into the what slot, and you saw the Roger Fosmark last year. He's one of our teacher. And I'm teaching the afternoon class. He teaches morning and afternoon. So, and we are both graduate from the same seminaries. So, kind of we're versed on all the training. And then there's Josh. He and I was the classmates, and with a lot of practical discussions. And then when I was thinking about coming up here, we had a discussion about ladies wearing miniskirt. You remember this? The conversations? And I remember there was a couple of guys were sitting at a table and then we had a discussion about miniskirt. Why ladies have to wear miniskirt? Josh was very nice to Jennifer and said, he didn't say anything. But by looking at him, I was a vocal one. So I said, there is no point in women wearing miniskirt. What's the point of wearing miniskirt? Josh was very nice to Jennifer and saying that, the ladies can wear miniskirt, but I think it's kind of a, there is a no point in this. Those kind of conversations. Little tidbits. Okay. So let's we warm that here. Okay. The next 3 days, what I'd like to talk about is Trinitarianism. So it's about the structure of God and how the God works, how the God works out. It's a very important thing to learn, because especially to grace believers. Because we used to, Old Testament guys, all they had to do was, God is good, God is great, God is all-powerful, and then now they're going to protect me from Philistines, hunky-dory. That was it. That's how they're going to go for that far. But what we can do is what we can do as a grace believers, we can actually partake God's nature. Okay. Curious? 2 Peter 1:4. Let's look at that. This is one of the WANA verses every little kids has memorized. Here is the WANA program. This is it. Just gotta remember this thing. Reasonably short. 2 Peter 1:4. For if the gods spared not the angels and ascend... No, wait a minute. Where am I? I'm in the wrong place. 1:4. I'm in a 1. I'm in 2 here. Okay, 1:4. Through are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by this ye might be partakers, sharer of the divine nature, God's nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So difference really about the grace believer to any other dispensations is that we can actually experience God's nature. Right? That's a very positive thing. This is a big deal. This is a really positive thing. We are going power tool here, not just hand screws. We are just really jumping about experiencing. In order to explain this one, in order to experience a little, understand this one more, we gotta know about how the God works, and then what's the basis of a God's works. That's all about essence and attributes. We'll go over that, and then we'll briefly go over that this hour, and kind of give you what the really difference is, how you should think about these things. That's what probably most of the 1 hour is going to spend on today. The second hours and third hours, which is tomorrow and then the Sundays, we'll use the Trinitarianism, which we're going to go one more step. So how the God themselves, three persons, related with each other. That's nice to know. Because the reason it's very nice to know is because it becomes an example for us that how we relate with each other. So now I have to see that example, I have to study example really carefully and well so that I can use in my life. It doesn't make a lot of sense, doesn't it? It's a Philippian talks about this, using that example. Basically, two things I like to bring it out. God works together. And we'll bring a bunch of examples that God works together. And the second thing we're going to bring it out is that God submit to one another. And then it's not that one has a higher ranking than others. They submit to one another. It's okay, this job. Okay, Holy Spirit, you can be higher than me. You tell me what to do. Or this dispensation after this work. Okay, God the Son, tell me what to do. Holy Spirit, you know, tell me what to do here. And then kind of this relationship is going to happen, it happens. And we're going to go through that each examples and see how they do this. And basically, that will be an example of that. And hopefully, by Sunday, we'll use this example. In the Philippians, definitely talks about how to love one another. Love one another is it's a really great bonding for the Christians. But I just studied the false teachers. And then study about false teaching, Gnosticism. It's when you talk about false teachers and false heresy, Gnosticism is really good. I mean, one of the best heresies going around. It still goes around, by the way. This Gnosticism, against any heresies, the best weapons the Christians have, it always comes down to we have to practice Christian life. How do we practice Christian life? The key thing about Christian life is to love one another. And that is, so that becomes, the love one another becomes the, I don't want to say armor, because armor is already used in the Bible, but it's a great protection, or great immunizations, or great wall of defense for these false teachers, or false heresies, whichever is going to come in. Because these guys can do it, we can. So this shows the differences. And a lot of First John, if you look at First John that way, this is a somewhat loving one another in First John. It's related to the protecting the people from, don't go there. Don't go to false heresy. You see this thing. If you love, you don't have to go there. Okay. So that's about three stages we're going to go through. Tomorrow's the submission charge we're going to talk about. And then the day after that, it's going to be kind of Philippians 1 and 2 we're going to talk about these two ladies having a little sparring match. Okay? And a little bit of squabbles going around. Mm-hmm. But we'll bring it up to all this at the time. Okay, so let's go on to these definitions. Very good, just march through these things, and just bring it through you and what's the important aspects of God is. This is a typical way of teaching theology proper, typical teaching about doctrines of God. I haven't created any other wheel is turning well, so I'm not inventing any more better wheel than this one. Okay, so let's go on. God's essence is a spirit. It's a, John 4:24. This is another Wana verse. Okay, we don't have a Wana kids here, I guess. That many Wana kids. And this is one of the things you have to memorize in Wana. John 4:24. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God. Simple as that. God is spirit. So what does that mean? Let's look at another example. What is man's essence? What is man's essence? Spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. Yes, Leslie.
She knows everything.
Yeah. It's so that's our spirit. You're looking at it as compared to man and God. Okay? Now, man. We have a body, spirit, and soul. Can we say we exist everywhere? Why not? Yeah, because we have a body limitations. We are here. I'm here, that means I'm not there. That's what it comes down to. I'm there, that means I'm not here. That's what it is. But since God is a spirit, he's immense. He goes beyond everywhere. That's what the Bible tells us. In the, where is that? 1 Kings 8:27, Jeremiah 23:24. That's what you like. That's what your verse is here for. He's everywhere. This is why we say, that you cannot get away from the God. Makes sense, doesn't it? You just cannot get away. You can get away from your parents. But you cannot get away from the God, realistically. I mean, that's what it is. That's the way it is. God's always self, God exists, self-exists. I was born one time, and if the rapture does not happen, I will be physically die sometime. I mean, we all expect that. So I have there's a body, one of the essence, one part of the essence starts one time, ends one time. And of course, after die, then we got an intermediate body, different type of body. But let's be technical here. Let's stick with my physical body I have right now. So I have a starting and a beginning. God does not have that. He always existed. I just said it wrong. He always existed. He's always there. His spirit. He never was created. He never was done. His essence. Number three. His essence is unity. It's one. Another good verse. John 10:30. One thing. John 10:30. More valuable than one of verse here, that Jesus wept. This is a John 10:30. I and my Father are one thing, one essence, unity. He is one God. Okay? All this spirit is one. Number four, simplicity. God is spirit. God's spirit does not deteriorate or add unto it. Why can man teach calculus in fourth grade? Why can't we do that? Because, any teachers here?
Not simple.
Why don't we teach? Why can't we teach this?
We somehow think they're not ready.
Yeah, that's what, exactly what the really key here is. Because by development psychologists, guys, it says that about 16 or 17, the man gets the concept of abstract. Before that time, it's a concrete. The learning is a concrete. That's what exactly what Dwight is saying. When we teach the calculus, there are exceptions, of course.
Yes.
There's exceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, when we teach a calculus, abstract things to fourth grader or fifth grade, it's over their head. They're not getting this. They are not ready. That's what it comes down to. But when we get 16 or 17, these kids grow up, 16 or 17 or 8, that time, then they start grasping this abstract thought. So then we can teach them a calculus. What does that mean? People improve. Give them an education, they improve. Vice versa. I've been noticing the last 3-4 years, my body is falling apart. And I think you all know that. Because things like 10 years ago, I could pick up, picking up paper, it's not a really work, right? Paper's on the floor, and you pick up this paper, and it's throwing in the garbage. That's not a really work. And now I have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because by doing that, a couple times I pull my back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is as dumb as it is, it happened a couple times to me. And it is embarrassing. It is embarrassing, but as I grow older, I start realizing that my joints is falling apart, you know, my back muscles is falling apart. I can't see this thing anymore. I'm wearing the $600 glasses here. My glasses used to cost $100 for one thing, and I still can't see occasionally. Because you know, I'm the short-sighted, near-sighted, intermediate-sighted, all kind of combined together. And this is getting, you know, my body falls apart as it goes on. It's getting worse and worse. You all know that. This is not really, you know, revelation here. It doesn't happen to God. He doesn't improve, nor he doesn't corrupt. He doesn't deteriorate. He stays same. 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 10,000 from now, 2,000 from now, it's going to be the same. God is going to say. That's a characteristic of a God's spirit. Okay? All right, so let's go on to attribute. That's the essence is all about, is what God is made of. That's what we're talking about here. And God's attribute, there's a 7 attributes, and this is a basis of how God works. Okay? This is the basis of it. And I'll give you some examples. There's 7 of them here. Omniscient, which is know everything, know all, know everything. So, knows, understands, and have a wisdom based on understandings. Okay?
Infinite understanding.
Knows everything. What does he know? Okay, what does he know? He knows himself really well. In Hebrews 6 and 18, 2 Timothy 2:13. I'm kind of skipping this because if I go through all these things, I'm going to go forever. So I'm just skipping some of them and bringing some important points up there so we can looking at some important verses and important point I like to bring it up. Of course he knows, so he will know a lot of prophecies, no problem with that. And he even knows the potential knowledge. Okay, potential knowledge. Let's turn with me to Matthew 11:20. Okay, Matthew 11:20 and it goes up to 24 here. 24. And let's see. I think the start with the 20 will just automatically get into the point I want to bring out here. And then begin he to the brave the cities wherein the most of his mighty works were done. So Jesus Christ is he they're referring to, because they repented not. Woe unto the Chorazin, the woe unto the Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Yeah? So what he's saying here is, when the mighty works you've seen is done in Tyre and Sidon, you guys, Bethsaida guy, Chorazin guy, you changed your mind. But point is, you're not changing your mind. Okay, 23. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of the judgment than for you. And for thou, Capernaum, the which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done indeed had been done in Sodom, then it would have remained until this day. This is a potential knowledge. So, the work done in Capernaum, which the Capernaum people rejected Jesus Christ's work, were mighty works. So they didn't repent it. And he said, what did Jesus Christ say? Okay, if the same work is done in Sodom, this Sodom will still standing now. Okay, remember what happened to Sodom? Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, this is a wonderful, the Sunday school stories. But talking about a cause and effect. Sodom and Gomorrah was I guess bombarded is a good way of putting it, right? It's bombarded with as a fireball. Why? Because they were having the homosexual activities, and then they were having bestialities. And I just want you to know that how bad these guys were, because I didn't realize this, and but these guys are bad. So let's turn to the Roman. Roman 1. I think it's a 23. Roman 1. And the context here is going through this homosexualities, the homosexuality, explaining that God let this homosexuality let it go about homosexualities. Because the homosexual, let's say 27 here. Okay, 20, let's go 26. Start with 26. 126. For this cause that God gave them up to the vile affection, for even there a woman did change the natural use into the which is against nature, and likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of woman, burned their lust one to another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was met, which is meet. And even as they did not like to obtain God in their knowledge, this is what their problem with homosexuality in one sense, is that they don't want, it's okay, you don't want to acknowledge homosexuality, you don't want to acknowledge God, that's fine, but what they were doing here is, you shouldn't acknowledge God either. So you're kind of a, what is it, the evil word, two evil word, paniras. Hani Ras evil. I'm going to spread my thought on you. This is what they're doing here. Okay, where am I here? 29. Being filled with the old, even they did not like to retain their knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This is a mind, it's a faculty, it's kind of how the mind works. So what it comes down to is a homosexuality having this relationship is they can't even have, really think well, like normal people. But this is what their mindset is. Okay, let's bring that information to the Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is a homosexual town here. And this is not the town that you wanna go out. You wanna send the kids alone here. There is no law. People running around really doesn't have mindset. Correct mindset. Their mind doesn't really work very well. And there are deficiencies in their mind. And that's what Sodom and Gomorrah was. It's an ugly town. You think about it, it's the ugliest town you can ever imagine. I cannot even describe to you. I don't know what it is. If the man does not have any way of thinking correctly, then what is the town going to look like? If you don't have a police, if you don't have a mayor, if you don't have a law, everybody's for themselves, what is it going to be like? I mean, that's a mild version of that. At least these people can think about themselves rationally. But even these people who getting into it, they don't even think of it right. Sodom and Gomorrah was like this. And Jesus Christ is saying to the Capernaum guys, if I did, the same miracle just you saw here to the Sodom and Gomorrah, they repented. These are the guys just said in Romans 1:27, saying they don't have a mind. They don't know how to think. That's what this is the guy is saying to the Sodom and Gomorrah. They really put the Sodom and Gomorrah a little higher in a level. So you can see Jesus Christ was just saying, kind of railing on these Capernaum guys, saying, this is really bad. I mean, this is a really bad situation. Connecting Sodom and Gomorrah, if I did the miracles in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would still be standing. They probably repented. So I would just say, I don't have to do the fireball bombardments. They will be still flourishing town. But you still didn't repent. So, if the Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, those kind of work is done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they'll be still standing. That's a potential knowledge. God has that. God has even that kind of, what would have a hypothetical effect and result? Yeah? Intimacy of God's knowledge about me. I don't think that we don't have to go through it in Psalm 139. David talks about this intimacy, about how much God knows about the intimacies, intimacy of God's knowledge about the person. Just imagine yourself. I'll bring up 1 Corinthians 13 a little bit later. So let's go to the truth. Next one. So God knows everything, not only intimate details or the intimate details to what's going to happen in the future, to what the potentially could happen. God knows everything. Okay, let's go to the truth. Second aspect, attribute of truth. Truth is just accurately seeing things as they are. Okay, I admit that I don't have the capabilities. I'll give you an example of this, why I don't have the capabilities. All the parents will think their kids are cutest kids in the world. I'm not that exceptions, by the way. I think Christina is the cutest their daughter in the world. And I think that includes, that fact includes that it's cuter than Emily. Okay? That's a cuter than Emily. That's what I think. This is my truth. That's the truth about this. But I'm sure Tim and Peg think otherwise. I think Emily, actually I should be diplomatically correct, Emily and Katie should be cutest kids in the world. Hey, I don't hear amen. I don't hear amen here. Am I right in this one or am I wrong on this one here? Okay. Okay, that means that to them, Emily is cuter than Katie. I mean, the Christina. All right, so here it goes. So this is the truth. I mean, I have a subjective about this. And they have a subjective. We all have this kind of subjectivities about this. But God is absolutely true. And he sees the way it is. Okay, it's very important. This one, the truth and omniscience is a very important in a lot of things God do. Okay, let's give you the example of 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Okay. This is about assurance, about what God does for us as far as temptation is concerned. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. I'd like to focus on this. Okay? God will not allow us to have a temptation above and beyond able. That's what I would. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely true. But let's look at this possible options. Okay? If God is not true, hypothetical situation. If God is not true, that God is going to allow me some kind of temptations. Have you thought about the temptation is adequate for me? Or can be bigger than I can handle? If God does not see the temptation is the absolute truth as it is, you can see the ugly implication here, isn't it? God is a truth. God can see this temptation as it is. God can see my ability to win the temptations. He matches up with this. If God does not have this ability, truth, God can give us temptations far more than what we can handle. It's going to be ugly. Then that doesn't become a faithful God. So we can start appreciating truth is a very important aspect of God. Yes, amen. This is a really amen here. Really amen here. One of the things I'm kind of throwing this one to the conversation, I'm throwing it as something you can think about, is that one of the work the Holy Spirit does right now is restraining the law on the man of lawlessness. Thank you very much. and this kind of crowd participation. It is really interesting that why God does this. And the one we thought about, yeah, he does that. Okay, that's kind of what I learned in the seminaries. But have you ever thought about if this guy's loose? If this guy's loose, he gotta be, and now, let's assume, now, he's going to create a lot of situations, including temptations, so far beyond what we Christians are capable of. And there is something that this guy has, this guy's a spectacular guy, that which can really have effect and have a very dangerous Christian life for the Christians at this moment. So I kind of let you think about it. I'm digressing here. Rabbit trail. Okay. So let's get into that. Let's go into the omniscience and truth. Where am I here? Okay, 35. Now, well, let's look at the Roman 8:26. See, one more example, 8:26. Josh, you're talking about Holy Spirit? Let's skip. We can skip that. Okay, I mean, it's my 8:26. Roman 8. Okay, let's 8:26 to 28. Well, I'm not talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. I will just talk about what God the Father does, okay? Likewise, this is a situation. This is one of the wonderful situations. We get... it's a Holy Spirit's intercession. This is an example of a Holy Spirit's intercession. Intercession, I look at it as a very common word. It's I'm taking over. It's you're hiring ringer. You can substitute. I can't do this, so I'm going to hire a contractor in there to do this job. This is what intercession is. The Holy Spirit is taking over. In concerning the situation when they're worshiping. Okay? That's what it talks about here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our weakness. Therefore, we know not that what we should pray for, prosukomai, this is a worship word here, prosukomai, for as we ought. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Worship is a big deal to God. Of course, in the human level, big deal is a finance at this moment, losing the job. To God, worship is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And He wants us to worship appropriately, accurately, all the time. Okay, now, as a believer, Christian believer, this is one of our weaknesses. It's fine, it's weaknesses. We have all weaknesses and strength and all. God helps us to do all these things. There's no problem with this. He knows it's a weakness, another truth character, and He's going to help us to do this. Where He's going to help us in the beginning here is, He's going to intercessions. Holy Spirit is going to take over first. Yes, amen to that one, another. And there's a couple of things like the Holy Spirit does. He's just, I'm just blessed by it. He does this. And there's a certain things that He just kind of a trotting along, kind of pull me along. What I'm talking about is that when I sin, He doesn't intercede for me. He just, that hurts, you know. Holy Spirit grieves on this. Why doesn't He change right away? He wants us to change. And that's another story. And Josh is going to cover that one. Okay, so now let's continue on as intercessions. So Holy Spirit is going to intercede because I do not worship well. Okay, let's continue on. And He that searches hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So now the believer searches mind, his heart, and he will know the Spirit's mind. And we know that, now, this is a famous verse, by the way. This is famous. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to the purpose.
Truth.
That's true. It's absolutely true. And we know that all things on the work together. This situation is the next step after that. So now I have intercessions, Holy Spirit interceding. I suppose worship, step one. I do not worship very well. Holy Spirit takes over. He worships for me. Now I learn something. A little bit. Okay, I learned something about worship. Now, next was verse 28. This all thing is about, it's not an all thing of all thing. You know? This all thing is related to this worship issue. So now, God is going to set up the situation again so that I have an opportunity to worship. That's the all thing. It might be one, I mean, it might be this one, it might be that one, but these are the all things, not everything talking about. All things related to the worship. God is going to bring in that all thing. Now, point about this truth. God is that good. You need appropriate intervention at appropriate time, at appropriate things, to teach you will grow. Not only he will substitute for you in the beginning, but now you need to grow here. We'll get you there. The truth. Get you the truth. The right stuff for you to make you happy. I mean, wonderful God. Okay. Let's move on to the next one. Omnipotent. Absolute power to do whatever he determined to do. He has infinite amount of power. This power we are talking about is called, the Greek word is dunamis. Okay, inherent power. Okay, if you look at the power, there's two types. I look at power two different ways. The power that I can lift 400 pounds barbell in with my right arm. That's a power, right? This is a power. If I can do this, this is a power. God can do that too, by the way. God does that too. He can do that. Another power you can think about it, another thing power you can think about is the power to endure very mentally challenging situations. Okay? I'm having, you know, a lot of bad things happen. People suffer. Family dies, close family member dies. Needless to say, it's a difficult time for the person. And you have a great temptation after temptation coming along. Your job is not doing very well. It's mentally challenging, mentally difficult time. That's also power. In order to win over situations, temptation is one of the big things. Difficult time, temptation. In those times, we have a power to win over the situations. Because God has omnipotent power. We are sharer of that power. We don't have as much power as God has. But we have plenty of enough. Ephesians 1:18 tells us we got plenty of power. The power equivalent, inherent power equivalent to raising Jesus Christ from the dead, resurrection from the dead. I mean that. By the way, I am nurse for the kind of job, you know, just making the ends meet. I mean, and I'm nurse, but nurse that who actually goes to this code, you know, guy dies and you have to go in there and shock them, you know, those kind of guys. I'm actually one of those guys who starts IV for these guys. And I can tell you, if you don't have a heart rate, I'm sorry, it's gone. And that not having the heart rate, we think when you launch the ERs and all these things, we can do medicine, people can do a lot of great stuff. Yes, they can do a lot of great stuff, but when the person has no heart rate, it's gone. I mean, there's not much we can do about it. And then Jesus Christ was dead 3 days, by the way. It's not 10 minutes. It's not 30 minutes. He's dead. 3 days. And then, by the way, what's the problem with the 3 days? The test for my daughter. She's taking it after me. Because the cell breaks down. Once your cell breaks down, this is biology. Uh-huh. When the cell breaks down, you just cannot put it together. Even Star Trek guys can't even do that. You know? Star Trek guys can do that. They can teach a calculus in, I think it's a 10th grade. They can teach calculus in about second grade. I didn't watch that, but Captain Picard has that ability. But, you know, even that, you know, guy dies, there's no way you're going to, it's 3 days, there's no way you're going to revive the person. God did this. God did this. And that's a lot of power. That is a lot. You really, really have to appreciate that power. Omnipotent. Okay, here we go. All right, love. Let's go to love. Love, 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. That's the definition of love. And you can kind of look at it. And I can basically tell you in one word, it's about the unselfish love. It's for the best for others' love. And this is the one I'm going to take it over in a Sunday, bring a little more elaborate this one. So, if you want to look at 1 Corinthians 13, if you go home and look at this 13, it's very important to see that where is it located, 1 Corinthians 13. It's between 12 and 14, and yeah, you can say that. But really important thing about it is it's just squished between spiritual gift sections. Because spiritual gift, I'm going to service to you. That's what the spiritual gift is all about. And that's the importance of that locations tells us, even if we've got one more information, that it is for somebody's best interest. Okay? That's what comes down to the love. And the love, and God is 1 John 4:8. Another good one. 1 John 4:8. I'm just going to read it to you. And people bring out this verse a lot as a, it's a talk about, I think this good word is a blasphemy to God, I think. Is it true that he that loveth not knoweth not the God, for God is love? Okay? So all these people think that God is love, and he cannot do this for me. He cannot have a bad suffering happen to these guys and all these things. He cannot put people sent to the hell. God is not only, God is love, true, but God is also holy, God is also righteous, God is also good. We have to continue on all these attributes. So beware of this. Beware of this. And the second thing about, another thing I like to talk about the love is love has to go along with the truth. We talked about truth, seeing the way it is. Okay. Reason I say this is because of how many of us here? About 33 of us here. I'm sure if I ask each of you, you will come out with something that I need this. And I can pretty much say, this is the best for you. And I can contribute some way towards you for best for you. Don't you think so? You can do it to me too, you can bring out the situations. But as we'll see on a Sunday, that you really got to know. You really got to know the situation before you really help out to do best for the person. Give you an example. I've been warning to my kids many times on these issues. Credit card expenses. They do have a credit card. Okay? And the reason they have a credit card is that they can spend in a college. I don't know what they're going to spend on a college. So spend it, we'll look at it. If it's yours, it comes out from your account. It's a legitimate thing like a bucks and something like that. It comes out my accounts. That's it. However, I'm sure you have this conversation with your kids. You probably, if you don't have a kid, you will have this one. However, you pay your own. So I don't want you to excessively spend credit card. There's a lot of people have a trouble now. Okay. Assume one of my kids has zillions and zillions of dollars of credit card debt. Am I going to help her?
No.
Am I going to help her?
No.
No, why not? That's not best for her. Yeah, because I love her. That's not best for her. What is the best for her?
To learn herself.
So, in order to do that, I would say, you should work more, pay off your credit card. Or you have some kind of different conditions, cut off your credit card, so on and so forth. You figure it out, your intervention, okay? But point here is that even though this person had spent a lot of money on it, I'm not going to help her. On the other hand, if there was somebody in church have this quote-unquote, this teaser raid, ninja raid, mortgages going around, and they cannot pay their mortgages. they've done everything they felt they need to do and get along. They just, husband dies, income just chops in half. They can't pay the mortgages. Am I going to help her?
Yes.
It's best for her at that moment. It can be. I can help her that. So it depends on how much you really know. So not only loving one another, you gotta really know the situations. So that's very important. So we're gonna talk about that on Sunday. How are we gonna really do that? And some practical level of that on Sunday. Okay, love. Holiness. Holiness is basically the able to distinctively separating from the one another. This is, we look at the holiness as a kind of vertical thing. What I mean by that is that we are down here, God is up here, and God is holy here and set apart to it, so we cannot approach this. I mean, so we have to, unless we are holy, we cannot go up there. It's kind of vertical, look at vertical. But actually, holiness is actually horizontal. The this talks about the horizontal. It's three persons have their distinct personalities. That's what a holiness that really means. So you got a three different person up there. That means you really cannot, and the guy in the bottom is going to have a problem, and set apart onto these three persons. That's what really holiness is all about. So a lot of times we don't have this three person set up. Okay. Not only that, this is not really, okay, that's what way it is. This is how the God separate themselves to three. Not only that, what God wants here is not only He is holy, God is holy, but He demands everybody to be holy. That's what really what a big deal comes in application. In order to be everybody to be holy, there's a one or two way of doing this. Basically, one God provide for us and one God's gonna do. We cannot be holy. Honestly, we don't have any ability to be holy, so God provides way to be holy. This is what all the Christian redemption is all about. Propitiation is all about. I mean, God, Jesus Christ doesn't have to do this. I mean, we could have gone other way, which is, if you're not holy, you're gonna get creamed, which is what we call the wrath. It's not pretty things. This is another thing, blessings about Christians. We don't have to see the wrath in the tribulations. We are seeing the little bit of the wrath, quality of wrath, not the tribulation. I don't know. I mean, oh gosh. It's going to be ugly. let's put it there, super ugly. So that's what the holiness does in the two things for the God. Is the one is that they're separated, so we can see the personalities of coming out those three. Same time, and then God wants us to be holy. This is a good verse is, let's see, good verse is, First Peter 1:16. First Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He demands holiness. And this is where that we really get into trouble, the human being gets into trouble. Because if he's holy, we have to be holy. And since we cannot be holy, we are doomed. We are receiver of this wrath. But God gave us a way out. That's what salvation is all about. Okay? That's what propitiation is all about. Okay, so let's go to righteousness. Righteousness is just, holiness is more thought. Righteousness is act, more like act, is generally more act. One of the things, it's just being right. That's all it is, being right. But whose standard is what the really key here is? Whose standard? God's standard. So don't go there. I was listening to, this music. What is that guy, black guy, rapping? I'm sorry. There's a black guy rapping, a rapper, black guy. I don't want to be stereotyped here. white guys rap too. So, and there's one rapper was a very supportive. He's very famous, by the way. Supposedly very famous. This is, you know how much I know about rapping here. And he's a very famous, so that he supported the Obama.
I
don't know, whoever he was. Okay, it's not, that's, name is not that relevant. I tried to get some interesting comment out of from the teenagers here. But it happened to be this guy, was that's what Krishna was telling me. This is a rapper, and which that really is very, very famous. Of course, a rapper nowadays is a very popular figure among the young people. Right? And then this guy is very famous, and he supported Barack Obama when he was running for the presidency. And
so did God support Barack Obama?
Yeah, he allowed it. yeah. So he was a kind of the singer getting to be, singers getting to be the little supporting to the presidency. I'm not saying that. But what he saw, content, was I like to go into. But we're going into, I was listening to this and I never realized that America has a really big deal about the fair equity. Right? What do you mean by fair equity? You have to be same as I am. Both government has to give me the same thing. Same amount of privileges. Am I right on this? The girls has to have the same athletic privileges as the guys has as athletic privileges. There's a Title IX. Yeah, it's fair equity is a big deal in America. This is what fair equity means. And this is almost a standard of America. And by the way, I'm from the third world. I grew up in the third world. And I don't even know what I got shot as immunization, the kind of places. When it comes to coming from this third world, there is no fair equity. And so when we talk about a human right to the red Chinese, and then when the president goes, you have a lousy human rights record, Chinese premiers scratching their head and say, what are we talking about? I mean, I'm not really getting this fair equity things. And then why do we have to treat nice to the people? I mean, that's what they were saying, things like this. So we're putting the American standard, cultural standard, into the before God and saying that, you know, how can God choose the Jacob over Esau? Even before they were even born, he's saying. I mean, it's not after the Jacob did a little stabbing back, and okay, you can now you have a justification to pick the Jacob over Esau. But God just chose Jacob over Esau. And that is right, by the way. That is right. Not only that, how about this? I mean, one of those stern fathers, example. If the kid did something wrong, they have to suffer. Right, man? That's the way it goes. They have to suffer. You're going to be spanking or all these things, whatever the method, you're going to put a timeout or this. You're going to have spanking or whatever it is. They have to suffer. That's what kind of stern fatherly role this happens. You know what God does if you sin? 1 John 1:9. Just forgive you. Yeah, you confess it. You forgive it. Like that. That is right, by the way. That is right.
In the Old Testament? Stone.
Yeah. That's stone.
Same God.
Difference. We'll talk about that. Mobility of God. We'll talk about that. So, the point I'm trying to make here is His standard, not our standard. So, be careful when you say God is righteous. Don't bring it in those kind of our standard, except the traditional standards into God. So make sure the Bible describes it as righteous. So that's righteousness. Okay. Now last one, goodness. Alright, so goodness. Goodness is a God desires and maintains happiness, provides for others to be happy. Okay, that's what it is. God wants us to be happy. He's happy, and same time, He wants us to be happy. And this is a little different from what we think of as our happiness. And there's a couple of other Greek words in there, but I'm not going to go in there. And then kalos and merios, merikos, what is it? Blessed. And then I will talk about that later. And what I'd like to bring out about the goodness here is, we really cannot have, God's kind of goodness, because we are not, as a human being I'm talking about, it's a natural man, we cannot really have a God's kind of goodness, but God wants us to have His kind of goodness. So what He's what He does for us is He provides this goodness to us. Okay? And then two forms comes down to. One of them is a spiritual gift, and fruit of spirit. Love, joy, peace. Anybody else?
Gentleness.
Goodness. He wants us to be happy. Same time, God brings in, remember about that Romans 8:28. All things, relating to God gives all things to teach us to be learning about worship, all things. What turned out to be? Word is good. Make you happy. So bring a situation will bring us happy, and He basically provides us being a happiness. So I pout. And this is the one my wife occasionally brings out. And I know that. Are you happy? I'm not happy now. How long have I been happy? Let's see. I haven't been happy for a week. I'm making up here. Don't go there. I'm making up. Coming out things. Then, next line is, have you been spiritual? Because if you're spiritual, then you should be able to be happy. That's first line. I don't even have all those other situations coming to me. See there, how it goes. Okay. All right, so we just covered 1 hour and this essence and attribute. I'm going to just stop at the nature. This is a good demarcation here. So I'm going to just talk about the nature for about 10 minutes. And from that point on, we'll talk about some little more about nature and Trinity here. Nature basically here is talk about a combination of essence and attributes. Being, basically we'll be being. Okay, we started with essence, which is a human essence, which is body, soul, and spirit. God's essence is a spirit. Okay, and you combine with attributes, 7 attributes for God, probably not many for man. I only think about selfishness as an attribute. And from that, you combine this together and bring out the natural nature. And in nature, commonly we should think about as the way to can experience that type of whatever it is, whatever really core here is. When we say, God Jesus Christ received a human nature when He was incarnated, when Jesus Christ took the human body, okay? That means He could experience what man can do, man can be, or man can experience. He feels sorrow. He feels grief. He feels betrayal. He feels temptation. He experienced these things. In our case is wonderful. His case, he was kind of somewhat demoted in some sense. Our case is wonderful. Promotions, you understand? We can experience this God's truth. We can know some power. I can experience God's nature, God's attributes on this. And I can experience love, which is very difficult to, it's impossible in a natural man. I can experience this. That's what the nature can allow us to have. And nature, I will probably end with this one. Eternity, and six the characteristic. But I will start with eternity. Just start the eternity, and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. Eternity, which that God is eternal, sounds as though it was there forever. Sounds like it, right? Eternal. Start long time ago, you continue on long time ago, long time in the future. Eternity really means that the God is disconnected, is unconnected with the time. So he doesn't have really time frames. Okay? That's something very important to remember about eternity. So there's a two way of describing this situation. Man can describe as that he exists in the beginning and he will be the end. Let's look at that verse, Revelation 1:8. Okay, Revelation 1:8 is I am, Jesus Christ is talking about here, himself. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So what he's saying here is he wants to explain to the man that he is beginning to end. That's a man's perspective. That's a man's perspective. So he was always there in the beginning, he started the beginning, and he will end in the end. But in a God's perspective, everything is a now. It's everything is now. There is a God does not have God does not have this past and a future and a present kind of thing. Everything is now. The name he calls himself is I am. It's a present tense, imperfect. I am. That's what it is. It's a God is I am. So when you talk about Peter, wrath is coming a little slow, delayed. He's long-suffering. He doesn't have, he explains it in the verse that, you know, your 1 second is a, you know, your 1,000 years is 1 second, my 1 second is your 1,000 years. It's really, he does not really deals in time because he's disconnected, he's unconnected with time because he lives in eternity. That's very important to know. Because then what he does, this is very important because using this, he brings it in. This whatever happens now, he can apply to all over the places. Okay? Okay, he applies. Imputation is a classic example. Imputations. I am in, when you do the reflective thinking, I am in Christ. Yeah, I am in Christ. Am I joking here? I am here. we just talked about in essence. I'm here. And you are here. I see you here. And this is not really that difficult concept. But God sees me, believers, in Christ. Why does he see that? Because he is eternal. Because he will see in the future what's going to happen in the future. It has already happened. So he's looking at it now. And he's applying that right now. And so I'm here. Although I'm here, although you are here, the real issue here is that as a God, as far as God is concerned, it's already happening, done over, done deal. He's right looking at it in Christ. And that's what the ability of God is. And of course, we don't have that ability. We don't all know that. We can kind of barely kind of scratch. I hope that thing can happen. Yeah. So, I'm going to just conclude here. And I will bring it up this one and kind of finish up on this the nature and bring it on the connect with Trinitarianism and go to submitting tomorrow. The short reviews about God's essence. God's essence is all about what God's made of. And he's a spirit, and he has a characteristics, and self-existence, unity, simplicity, and immensity. He has attributes. Attribute basically means his work is based on these attributes. And this is a wonderful Sunday school. Leslie, are you teaching this? Yes, this is a wonderful Sunday school. Lessons. I mean, teaching them what God does. I mean, just nice demarcation too. They're omniscient, knows everything. Truth, which is the way to see, way to think, seeing the way that it is. And omnipotent, infinite amount of power, inherent power, and love, do best for others kind of love, for the best, and holiness, distinctively separated, and righteousness, His standards, and the goodness, He wants us to, He is happy, He wants us to be happy. Okay? This is based on His actions. Alright. So now, tomorrow, I'll pick it up the rest of them as natures. And at this moment, I'm done. So, okay. So let's take a break. Tim?
Well, I didn't have to get up and leave, but my wife did. And she didn't say why she was. No. Her legs were giving her jitters. We'll give you a five.